Hello and welcome to the Inspire Church Albany podcast. We just want to invite you to journey with us as we grow, learn, and strive to become more like Jesus every day. We pray that wherever you are in your journey, that you would be encouraged and challenged to take that next step in your faith. Enjoy this message on this month's theme, Relationship Goals.
So the title of my sermon this morning is What? Oh, there's Jonathan Boyd Bell. Well done, Jonathan. The alpha male. Lucy's got your massive thing of chocolate somewhere hidden. I see she's not bringing it down. So there's, sorry, people sitting around Jonathan, you're not eating chocolate this morning. He's taking that one home. The title of my sermon this morning, What Are You Wearing? Kind of like a, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? And, you know, this week, I've been getting stuck into Acts 2. And I love Acts 2, and I've just been diving in and reading it and reading it again. Who knows, it's good to read something more than once, because as you keep reading it, God begins to show you more and more. And it doesn't matter if you read it years ago, when you read it again, somehow God shows you something new, right? And I've been loving reading Acts chapter 2 because it talks about the early church. Like literally, Jesus came. Jesus started an absolute revolution. And then he left. You know, he died, rose again, he left. And then there's the apostles there. And they're just sharing the good news of what Jesus has done. And all these people, it says people were being saved and added daily. There was a movement that had begun. And in Acts chapter 2, it talks about this movement, all these people coming. And you could say, you know, we're in a season of relationship goals, that there was a whole lot of relationships starting, right? A whole lot of people being added to the church. There's a whole lot of new relationships starting. And who knows that when a relationship starts, it's good. It's fun. It's awesome. It's like, you know, there's that term, the honeymoon period, right? Relationships always start well, and it's like you're on the same mission together. You're excited. You're heading up to that mountaintop. You're on the mountaintop. But who knows that over time, there's not just mountaintops in relationships. There's also, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if you know what I'm talking about. It's not all mountain highs, there's valleys too. And so you got all these eclectic people coming together. It's starting off well, and then there's a few bumps in the road, right? And so Paul, he writes it to a few churches. It's in Ephesians, so the church to Ephesus, but also in Colossians. Paul starts to write about relationship goals, all right? Because he knows that relationships take work. Whether it is a relationship with your significant other, whether it's a relationship with your kids, your co-workers, your friends, unfortunately, relationships take work. So this morning, we're going to dive into Colossians, and it's chapter 3. Who's got their Bible or a phone or something? Awesome. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. And this is one of the many times he gives this advice, breaking down relationship goals for us right here. So Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 12. And it says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. I mean, I'm going to stop there. That's pretty incredible, right? We are God's chosen people, holy. That means set apart, that we're just not for everyday use, just throw to the side, that God sees us as holy, that he's called us to be holy. And it says dearly loved. We've been singing about that this morning, reckless love, that, you know, as Pastor Zahn said, that God would leave the 99 to get the one and bring them in. It's about having all of us, not about, oh, well, that sheep's run away. We'll just let it go, whatever happens. God cares so much that he chases all of us. Dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. So it's just a couple of verses, but it's packed with so much insight. Who knows that a good outfit gives you confidence, right? Who agrees? Yeah. I remember my first job out of school. I remember I would just finish my last exams at school, and then my mum, who was a very wise woman, said to me, go apply for a job or apply to be on the dole. And she knew, me being a very competitive person, that that meant I was out the next day applying for jobs. And anyway, I got my first job at Hallenstein's. We all know Hallenstein Brothers, the clothes shop? Yep. And I remember at Hallenstein's, they did training. And I remember this one thing in the training, and it said this. When you, and it sounds silly, but it is so true when you think about it. When you sell someone clothes, you're not just selling them clothes. You're selling them confidence on their first date. You're making them feel confident at work. You're making them feel comfortable to go up to somebody and have a conversation. You're not just selling them clothes. And it's kind of true. Putting on that new shirt that you buy, there's nothing like it, right? And it's funny how even sometimes some new clothes makes old clothes suddenly feel new, like there's a new outfit. It gives it a new lease of life. So, you know, clothing gives you confidence. Also, there's the right clothing for the right occasion. I mean, we've probably all been there where you rock up somewhere and you feel underdressed. I've done that before. Turned up, felt underdressed. I've also turned up and felt extremely overdressed. Who's done that before? So there's clothes for the right occasion, right? But I think the thing I want to focus on this morning as we start to unpack what Paul is saying about clothing yourself is that your clothes say something about you. It's funny, we've got all these shortcuts. It's like when you meet someone for the first time, it's always, hi, my name's Jesse. What's your name? Micah, nice to meet you, Micah. Normally, one of the next things you do is, what do you do, Micah? Is a question. Don't worry, you don't need to answer that one. We're all good. Is what do you do? And the reason why people often ask, what do you do, is because you can kind of begin to understand who someone might be. You know, if they're an engineer, they're precise and they think things through systematically and they like to solve problems. If they're a nurse, they're probably filled with compassion, you'd hope, and they care about people's well-being. And you kind of get a little bit of a sense of what somebody might be like. And the other thing is what they wear kind of says something about them. So your outfit says something about you. It gives you confidence in relating to others. And here, I think it's really interesting, and it's not the only time Paul does it. He gives us this example of clothing yourself in something. So this morning, we're going to have a look at what these items of clothes are, all right? I might take this off if that's all right. So the first one here, we'll just hook this over here. The first one here that Paul talks about is compassion, all right? The first thing to clothe yourself in is compassion. And you know, what is compassion? Compassion is seeing the need in others and having pity or understanding for somebody who is in need or someone where they're at. And when I think about compassion, you know, I think a little bit like, who was here when Pastor Danny was here? Do you remember when he was telling that story where he was talking to a friend of his who wasn't doing something too good and he was challenging him on he had lost his uh-uh? Do you remember that? He was talking about like that, uh-uh, it's like conscience, uh-uh, when you're doing something that you probably shouldn't be doing. Well, to me, compassion is that tug that takes place in relationship, right? Somebody isn't doing too well and there's a bit of a tug, or someone is struggling and there's a bit of a tug. And don't worry, I'm not talking about, watching a romantic movie and whether you cry or not. So, you know, if your significant other doesn't cry in rom-coms, it doesn't mean they have no compassion, okay? What compassion means is that there is a tug. And so Paul encourages us to put on compassion, that we need to put that on like an item of clothing. The next one that he talks about is kindness. And don't worry, I'm not going to pull my pants off this morning and put these on. Hence why I am wearing something quite similar. And as someone pointed out this morning, my wardrobe looks quite black. I just like black. Is that wrong? Black's good. So the next one is kindness. What is kindness? Kindness is wanting to give goodness to someone else, right? It's, you know, you see a need and you step in and you meet that need. It is being kind. Now, what is the opposite of kindness? If you were to put on the wrong pair of pants this morning, I don't know what the wrong pair of pants were for me this morning, just can't think of something. But anyway, if I was to put on the wrong pair of pants, shorts. Real short shorts, yeah. Do not picture that this morning. It's not a good thought. The opposite of kindness is really a lack of generosity. It's a meanness. It's kindness is thinking about the needs of others and how can I meet those needs in other people, whereas the opposite of that is really only to think about myself. It's a lack of generosity. It's a meanness. And what I hope wouldn't happen, you can even take that so far where you don't even show kindness to yourself. You know, an important relationship goal that we all need to live this morning is to show kindness, to see the needs in others, to have compassion, have that tug, and then how do we act on that? That's with kindness. Next one this morning, humility. This is one that sometimes I need to make sure that I'm quite intentional with putting on. And what humility is humility is a right perspective of yourself. I like that, a right perspective of yourself. You see, the opposite of humility is pride, where it's puffing myself up or doing something in a way that would benefit me more than the other person, right? You guys know what I mean? And so what Paul is encouraging is that you would have that tug in your heart, compassion towards someone, that you would outwork that in kindness, seeing that those needs would be met, but it would be done through humility, rather than done through a way that puffs me up or just makes me look good. Humility means that you see that you're not perfect, that the other person might be going through a struggle, and rather than, well, they're there because they got themselves in that mess, there is humility there. It was really, really interesting. We were having breakfast club. Who gets along to breakfast club? I see a couple of you guys out there. And girls, sorry, Jenny. And what I love about it is there's this great chat that happens around the table. And I love that what came up this week was this conversation of, do you guys know when Jesus talked about trying to take the speck out of someone else's eye when you've got a log in your own? That is so insightful. Because who knows that often You see a problem in someone else because it's just amplifying what you've got going on in your own life. And humility is the ability to deal with yourself first so that when you go and deal with someone else, it's done with the right perspective, right? Not a, you've got an issue, you've got to sort it out. It's, hey, we're all not perfect, but I want to see you do well. It's an absolute relationship goal, is to live with humility. Put it on every day. What else have we got here? This next one is gentleness. Now, this is an interesting one. Here we go. Got to get changed. Got to choose gentleness. The reason why gentleness is interesting is, who knows that sometimes words and terms are loaded? Like, you know, we hear a word and you have a reaction to it. For me, I always thought that gentleness sounded weak. Does anyone know what I mean? Like, you got words like gentleness or meekness and you're like, sounds a bit weak. Doesn't sound like something I want to put on in my life. And the interesting thing about gentleness is it actually means controlled strength or controlled power. It doesn't mean a lack of strength or a lack of power. It means controlled. And this is something that I know I've been challenged about a lot because, you know, you don't have to be, say, you know, when we talk about controlled power or controlled strength, we don't necessarily mean that you always get physical if things aren't going your way. You know, that would be more of a one end of the spectrum, getting physical when things aren't going your way. But, you know, an absolute relationship goal I know that I need to work on with gentleness is it can be in the things you say. Or in that you tend to react quickly and say something quickly rather than controlled strength or controlled power. I asked Kim in advance if I'm allowed to share the story. And I reckon she said yes because I look bad in it. No, I'm just joking. So an example of that is, and you got to love pre-marriage counseling. So if anybody isn't married yet, should be on your to-do list, okay, guys? At some point, when you got your significant other and we're getting close to getting married, pre-marriage counseling's great. And the reason for that is who knows that we all think we know everything when we're first in love. And it's like, no one has a love like ours. You know, those couple fight. There's no way we would ever fight. We would ever have an argument. You know, we've got the perfect relationship. Well, the great thing about pre-marriage counseling, and I just want to say a massive thank you to Alan and to Jane as well, is it uncovers things you may have never talked about. And one of the things we learnt on early is I like to talk. We didn't learn that. We already knew that I like to talk. But how that surfaces sometimes in an argument is I keep going and going and going and going and going and going and going because I just want to ensure that I'm understood. I don't have to be 100% right, but I just want to know that Kim has heard me. Because if she understands my side of the story, then we can at least wrestle around what the solution is, whatever. But at least I've felt heard. So I keep going and going and going and going and going. Kim, on the other hand, the more I go and go and go and go and go and get increasing in that strength and increasing in that power as I'm going and going and going and going, tends to retreat more and more and more inside and becomes more silent. Does anyone identify with that? Yeah, there's a few people here. So, as you could imagine, if my way of doing things is to go, 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 and her way to do things is retreat, 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 what does that mean? That means I keep going and going and going and going and going and going and going. And so we learned early on, and it actually came up in our pre-marriage counseling, just around We are different people, right? And that's the beauty of relationships, is it's diverse, whether it is your significant other, your kids, your workmates, your friends. We are different. Diversity is beautiful, but we've got to learn to work around those differences. So we learn a great tool. I need to try and learn to control that strength. But also, Kim learned a great tool as well, which is the I've heard you. Just want to process it and we can talk about it later. And it works most of the time. But that is why Paul says, clothe yourself. It's a choice. I know for me that sometimes I might look in the mirror and it's like, yep, I don't have gentleness on today. Got to change that jacket. All right? Is this good?
Yeah.
Cool. What is the next one? The next one is patience. And I've got, I thought nothing better than a watch to demonstrate that one. Patience. Patience is another one that you can tell the ones that God's talking to me about the moment because I'm now sharing deep stories. Patience is an interesting one because it's kind of like gentleness, and that gentleness is controlled strength or controlled power. Patience is that ability for, anyone heard that old term, long suffering? Sounds horrendous, but it's true. It is enduring something. It's giving someone time, right? Rather than being short-tempered, it's about being long-tempered. Now, I'm not talking about tolerating something that is really, 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 really bad. I'm talking about understanding, remember, because we've got humility on, that we're all not perfect, and sometimes we need to allow somebody some space in that. And patience is one I've been learning a lot about because I like things happening like now, okay? I like things to be sorted. If there's a problem, let's solve it now. Cole, you don't have your shoes on. Let's get your shoes on now. And understanding that Cole likes to enjoy his breakfast. Breakfast time for Cole might be half an hour where I've eaten it in 2 minutes. Cole likes to enjoy life. So anyone who doesn't know, Cole's my oldest son. Start school on Monday. Far out. Anyway, I love how all the parents who have older kids are smiling because there's so much more in store for me. but anyway, it's those little things where I'm just kind of like, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And again, don't control the power. It's easy to start saying things and like, come on, man, come on, let's, come on, we've got to get change. If you're not finished, we're all going to be leaving the table. You know, instead it's about patience and it's about extending kindness. It's me and understanding that I might be going and going and going and then Kim goes, I've heard you. I want some time. I'm going to process it and then we're going to have a conversation. And then me not just going 2 minutes later, so, you know, I remember that once in a car trip. And I'm one of those people, and I feel like I'm comfortable to say this, where I say sorry pretty quickly, and I forgive pretty quickly, and so I expect everybody else to be, like, ready to go. So you can have an argument, and, you know, I'm, like, 2 minutes later thinking, how come we haven't resolved this? But it's just, Kim wants a little bit longer, okay? And then it's solved, but it's understanding that we're all different, that we all process things different. It's really funny. It's like, Paul, relationship goals. Isn't this all about me? No, it's actually about me putting on clothes that enable me to see others differently or act with others differently. That's what he's challenging us on. And then I was going to say I love this, but this is a challenge. It says, bear with each other. In other words, to support people, to be there and support and to hold them up and forgive the grievances sometimes. to forgive when they do something small, but not when it's big. No, it says forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another, and forgive as the Lord forgave you. And I think that is such a challenge, to forgive whatever grievances. One of the things I love about, I just love words. And one of the Greek words for forgive is literally to let go. And I think that's a really interesting picture, because who knows that when you're not forgiving, there's been a grievance and you're holding on to something. You're catching that in my language? You're holding on. And when you're holding on, it's really hard to pick something else up or to act differently when you're holding on, and God wants us to let it go. And there's an amazing picture in that in forgiving, you're actually freeing yourself. You're not necessarily saying what they did was right, but what you're doing is you're enabling to let go, rather than holding someone to account, rather than just holding somebody afar, you're making peace. And you know, as it says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I was speaking at young adults the other night, and I was talking about how there are two parables that Jesus told that has absolutely impacted my life. One of them is about the bags of gold. The other one is about the unmerciful servant. And it's an incredible parable, and we're not going to go into it this morning, but what I think it really talks about in the heart of God, and that here is this king who represents God. Here is this servant who owed him an infinite amount. I mean, one of the crazy things is the myriad, the number that was placed on it was the largest number they had at the time. Jesus is basically saying this guy was screwed. And yet the king forgave him. And you know, when we think about what Jesus did for us, what he was speaking about, you know, none of us are perfect, right? Sure, you can put yourself on a spectrum and feel like you're not as bad as someone else. Or maybe this morning you put yourself on a spectrum and you seem incredibly worse than the person next to you. It doesn't matter. God has made a way that we can be forgiven, that we can be set free, that slate can be wiped. I mean, we should all get pretty excited at that. Our slate can get wiped, amen? Come on. And all he requires is that we live the same, but it's tough. I know. When you're holding on to something and you don't want to let it go because you're right, I know it's tough. When you're holding on because if you admit that you were wrong, they'll hold you to it. I know it's tough. But Jesus asks us to forgive in relationships. And probably one of the most important relationship goals I've ever learned is to forgive quickly, because the longer you hold on to something, the harder it is to give up. The longer you hold on to something, you kind of get used to it. It's like you're holding that weight and you're like, oh yeah, I can do this. It becomes comfortable, it becomes normal, but God wants us to let it go. And I was thinking about, I briefly shared it at the Breakfast Club, but I was thinking about a time at a past job where I'm normally quick to forgive and let something go, but on this one occasion I didn't. And it was me and another colleague, and we were just butting heads, and I was 100% right, and they were 0% right, and we're fighting. And then it went into the next day, and I thought I'd let it go, but as soon as the conversation starts, it kind of erupts back into this battle of who's right, who's wrong, right? Yeah, we've all been there, haven't we? This battle, whether it's your significant other, your kids, battle. Friends, work colleagues, battle. And then I was catching the ferry there, And on the ferry, I like to, one of the things I used to do is I love to put on worship music and just have a God moment on the ferry. And I remember God saying to me so clearly, and it's funny because there's other times in your life you're like, God, I wish you talked to me clearly then, not on this scenario. But God said to me, aren't my mercies new every morning? And I was like, yeah, I'm so thankful that your mercies are new every morning. Man, I love it. It's like, you know, when you've had little kids, you know, and it might have been a bit of a battle the night before, but when they wake up, it's like we're starting fresh. You know what I mean? It's like with God, his mercies are new every morning. And I was like, I love this. It's so good. It's one of the things I love about you, God. And he goes, why aren't your mercies new every morning? Hate it. That's uncomfortable. I got to change my jacket. Got to put on that humility. I got to put on the kindness. I got to put on the patience. I got to put on the gentleness. God wants me to act differently. Yeah, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And then it says, over all of these virtues, put on love. And there was something that Pastor Julia mentioned last week. And that was about how we carry a fragrance, right? And I was thinking this week that, I'm going to smell good now, that love is like a fragrance. It says that it binds it all together in love. And it's like a fragrance that just completes that outfit. And there's something about the fragrance of your life that wherever you go, people can smell it, right? Not only is it what I'm wearing that you can see that there's something different about me, that it says something about me, that it gives you a confidence that it's a choice, but there's a fragrance that comes as well. And it should be love. What are people smelling this morning? Is it love or does it smell bad and there's something not right? Again, what am I clothing myself with? And there's another amazing thought that comes out of Acts 2 where it talks about, again, the early church, and there's a word in there which is the word echo, and it was almost like they were echoing a sound. And I was just thinking this morning, there's that challenge, what am I wearing? But what we wear says something, and it's like an echo of a sound, right? It says something about what God is doing in our lives. It says something about what God has purposed for us, what a relationship should look like. What is your sound? What is your fragrance? What are you wearing? And so this morning, as the title of the message suggests, how are you dressed? Maybe you need to change something. And the good news is, just like clothes, you can change at any moment, right? Maybe you need to change that jacket. Maybe you need to change those shoes. Maybe you need to change those pants, that shirt. Let God show you what you need to change this morning. Yeah, the question, how am I dressed? Do I need to change something? And what is my fragrances, or what am I wearing? What does it say about not only me, but what God is doing? And what I love is this thought that what I'm wearing isn't just a fashion statement about myself, but what I'm wearing is a reflection of what Jesus is. Because Jesus' purpose for us is that we would be conformed to the likeness of him, that we would look like him, that we would smell like him in the way that we talk, in the way that we have relationship, whether it's your significant other, your kids, your workmates, or your friends, that we would be like Jesus. And if the band could come up. So this morning, what I want to do is we're actually going to take a moment, because who knows that, and don't worry, we're going to be all right with with no one being able to see Luke. We'll be right there, just in case the boys are about to jump up and try and move things. What I want to do is, who knows that it's real easy that we can come, say on a Sunday or a midweek meeting or something like that, and kind of you barrel through and then you're excited and you go home and then Monday starts. And then Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and then thank God for Sunday. Now, that's not what the early church was ever designed to be. It was meant to be, sure, you had your things like your Sundays, but it was catching up with each other and spending time with each other and the idea of I groups and having meals and praying together. So it shouldn't really be Monday to Saturday and then thank God for Sunday. But whatever. I want to take an opportunity now where we're just going to spend a few minutes, and I want to think you to think about and ask God about, is there something you need to change? Is it compassion? Do you need to put on compassion this morning? Is it kindness? Do you need to work on kindness this week? Is it humility? Is it that you tend to puff yourself up? Is it that, God, just give me a right perspective of myself rather than an overinflated and I act out of pride? God, just help me to be humble. Maybe it's gentleness this morning that God is challenging you about. Or maybe you got most of the right clothes on, but you just need a little bit more of the fragrance of love. Or maybe it's just you need to forgive and let something go this morning. Let's bow our heads and we're just going to take a moment, and I want to encourage you, why don't you, and I challenge you, ask God, what's something that I might need to change this morning in my week, so that in what I'm wearing, it says something about me, that it says that you are transforming me from the inside out. What I'm wearing shows that I am transformed, that I'm becoming like Christ, that I am living out the way that you designed me to be, that I'm living out relationships the way that you've designed them to be.
Thank you so much for listening to this message. If you like what you heard and want to continue listening, just click follow. Feel free to browse our previous sermons and save your favorites. Until next week's sermon, have a blessed week.